you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for all my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve! It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve, with my delightful wife, Tacy, the queen of mean, the vicar of liquor, she who, unlike Lady Diagnosis, will do absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
For a bottle of expensive wine, but will still demand that I buy it for
demand
her.
Demand it.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. Hello, honey.
Hello, Steve.
If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Check us out on Twitter at Weird Medicine. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy, or go to our merchandise store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, chiropractor, yoga master, acupuncturist, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. Okay. Very good. So don't forget to go to stuff.drsteve.com, stuff.drsteve.com for all of your Amazon needs. Really makes a huge difference, and thank you for using that anytime you go to Amazon. And tweakedaudio.com. I had a person email me today saying they had a sale at tweakedaudio.com. They got X number percent off. Then they used offer code FLUID and still got 33% off that. So those people are crazy. And by those people, I mean the people at tweakedaudio.com. I've never seen anybody give away a discount like that, and their stuff's already really reasonably priced. So check it out, tweakedaudio.com, for the best earbuds for the price on the market and the best customer service anywhere bar none. Use offer code FLUID for 33% off your order. If you want to get to your ideal body weight while you're sitting there eating and drinking too much, during self-isolation, go to noom.drsteve.com. It's N-O-O-M, as in Mary, .drsteve.com. And it's a great weight loss program, but it's not a diet. It's a psychology program. You'll get 2 weeks off and 20% off if you decide to continue. And it's only a three-month program. Yes.
I'm going to need some tweaked audio earbuds for my trip tomorrow.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
you bought me some for Christmas, but I haven't seen them. Okay. I think they've been confiscated.
You think the boys got them?
Yes.
Well, I'll get you some. I'll get you some today. Just remind me when we get off.
Oh, I also am going to need some things downloaded onto my iPad.
No problem. I can help you with that as well.
I'm also going to need a ride to the airport.
You got it.
Okay.
That I can do.
And I'm also going to need some money.
Whatever you like, honey, I'm there for you. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net, too. If you'd like archives of the show, you can go to drsteve.com. There's a link there for $30. You get a 32-gig flash drive with 17 gigs of shows.
Who wouldn't want that?
I don't know why anybody would want it, but we've had a few maniacs get it, and I appreciate it. Hey, let's talk about Mother's Day real quick. I made you a strawberry cake.
You are the best Mother's Day giver of all. My day was so glorious. I had gumbo. I had strawberry cake with cream cheese icing with real strawberries in it.
Yeah, it was the first cake I've ever made in my whole life.
Attention. I have a Mother's Day necklace that was homemade by this lady who makes jewelry, and it's beautiful.
You can say her name. I guess we can give her a plug.
I can't remember her name.
It's Kyle Lester. Let me see. I don't know how to spell her last name, though.
I don't either. I think it's L-E-S-T-E-R.
L-E-I-S-T-E-R, maybe?
But she only sells stuff at the one place, and then everybody knows where we live. Yes.
Okay, so it's Kyle Lester. L-E-I-S-T-E-R, all one word, .com. And you can just look up Art of the Jewel. Oh, God, look at that. Oh, I'm glad you didn't want that one. Holy moly.
I'm going to next year.
And she does custom jewelry, and it's crazy looking stuff, and it's really, really cool. And anyway, so, yep, that was good. And that was the first cake I've ever made.
It was fabulous, and I can't believe you've never made a cake before.
I'm quite the amateur chef, but I've never made a cake before from scratch. And I've made cakes in the, what do you call them, in the tray? Sheet cakes? Made
cakes
those.
Of pan.
Cakes of pan. I've made those before, but I've never actually made a layer cake from scratch. And it was fun to do, and I saw a lot of things that I could do better next time, including how to frost that damn thing. That's difficult.
Did those dang kids eat the rest of that?
No, there should be two pieces left.
Okay, I'm going to be pretty pissed if it's gone.
Yeah, now cheesecake, I got it figured out, but cake, very difficult for me. Just a new thing. So I look forward, and if you know anybody that needs me to make them a damn cake taste, let me know, because I'll make it for them.
Me. Of course, if you keep making cakes and cheesecakes, then... We're going to be talking about weight loss every frickin' show, which is what we should be talking about anyway.
Noom.drsteve.com.
Noom.drsteve.com.
So, yeah, let's talk about you participating in reopening by flying tomorrow. Now, our buddy Dave Landau has been flying to Detroit to see his family every weekend, and so far, so good, no problems. So I think a lot of the... airports are pretty quiet. Our friend Dan, who is involved in air traffic control, says that their volumes have been down, but I think they're starting to pick back up again some.
I've been reading a lot about how they're canceling flights, so that would be great. I've also, I did get an email today saying that you are required to wear a mask, so I do feel better about that.
Good. Well, that, right. And again, the mask isn't to so much to protect you from other people, it's to protect other people from you. If you happen to be an asymptomatic carrier and you cough into the mask, presumably it will reduce transmission to a certain extent, and any, even a small percentage will help. When there were only 100 cases in the United States, it didn't make sense to wear a mask. So that's why they recommended people don't wear masks in the early days of this. But now that we've, you know, we've got thousands and thousands and thousands of cases, it does make more sense, particularly with the presumed high asymptomatic rate. Wearing a mask in a place like an airport or in an airplane hopefully will reduce transmission. So why didn't you just drive?
Well, my friend that does this drive a lot said that she has had trouble finding bathrooms in gas stations on the interstate.
Okay.
The bathrooms are closed.
Yeah.
And that is not something a 40, I don't know, 6-year-old woman wants to deal with on the interstate. If I have to pee, I have to pee. I can't.
Yeah, it's not like you can just hold a Coke bottle up like a guy can.
No, and I can't drive around. I mean, I would just pee on myself. I just can't. It's worth the ticket to me to do that. And plus, with all the uncertainty going on right now, I really was a little bit afraid to drive. You know, everybody says, well, I can get there in 6 hours. I just don't think so.
Yeah.
I've never gotten there in less than 7.5, but
yeah,
that's just what people say. So,
well, that's reasonable. So what I want you to do is to take some, now you can't take the big thing of Clorox wipes, but you could put some in a Ziploc.
Okay.
And if you have to go into the bathroom, you know, use them. Judicious or not judiciously, liberally in the stall. I'm sure in places like airports, they're cleaning those bathrooms pretty frequently, but still, you know, people are gross.
Yes.
And I hear, I've never been in the women's bathroom, but I hear women aren't that much better than men as far as just being gross in the bathroom.
Sometimes not. I do have to say, most of the time, they really do keep the airport
bathrooms they do.
Clean. So,
and they have those little things as you go out where that you can touch and rate the bathroom.
Yeah, touch the bathroom wall as you're walking out. Thank you.
Right.
It should just be nice, and that's how it is, and you shouldn't have to rate it.
That's hilarious. Yeah, you just wash your hands.
Yeah, let's touch
And now
touch
they want
this.
You to touch this thing that other people who haven't washed their hands have touched.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the doors out, so you wouldn't ever have to touch a door. Because people are nasty.
So they took the doors out of the women's bathroom?
Well, I mean, to go into the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
You know, you can wash your hands and walk all the way
out. That's not what I thought you said at all.
Yeah, not in the stalls.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious. A bunch of people just squat and, hey, how's it going? But, they're touchless entry. But just by having sort of a labyrinthine entrance, you don't have to put a door on it. So,
I mean, I have the kind of anxiety that alcohol won't kill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
you want to do some square breathing?
No.
Okay.
And just drink this wine here.
Okay. We have talked about square breathing for anxiety before. And one of my favorite apps that incorporates square breathing is Trip. It's a virtual reality app on Quest and Oculus Go.
That's right, everybody. You heard that. We're big into virtual reality here now.
Yep.
We sure are.
Well, we certainly are. And but the Trip app is very therapeutic, and it's inexpensive. And you can actually, and I get nothing for this, so I can say this without looking like I'm biased in some way. They liked the interview that we did with their founder so much that they put out a code. And if you use the code DR Steve, no spaces, Dr. Steve, no spaces, you get 20% off. And it's already an inexpensive app. And they change it every day. And if you're having anxiety, The Trip app is a great app to non-pharmacologically and non-alcoholically decrease your anxiety state.
No fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so much fun to get hammered and then wake up with a hangover.
Though. Yeah, at 4:30 in the morning, so I need to be very careful.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm driving you too, right?
Well, you said you were.
Well, I will.
He's such a nice man. He is driving me at the crack of dawn to the airport.
And yeah.
He doesn't have to do that.
I would call it the crack of ass.
It's very early.
And yes, but I have stuff I need to do tomorrow, so that'll force me to get up and do some things before the day gets started. So I'm totally cool doing that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. All right. Do you have anything for us this week, or are we
nope.
just going to proceed? Okay.
I'm not your little puppet anymore.
Okay.
You're listening to Weird Medicine.
Hey, Tace, let's take a minute to talk about a new sponsor to the show, DeepDiscount.com. It's a great site to buy movies, TV shows, music, and so much more at really great prices. I'm talking classics from back in the day, hard-to-find titles, and new ones, too. The best part is the prices are incredible and the choices are endless. Look, we're all doing our best to stay inside, so check out DeepDiscount.com. Grab your favorites to keep you company during this time. Watch what you want, when you want. No more wasted time searching and searching bad edits, sitting through endless commercials, all that malarkey. Just stop. Go buy your favorite titles, add them to your home collection, and own them forever. You'll find so many great titles, including many with bonus features like interviews and extra footage that you just don't get when you rent or stream. Go see for yourself at deepdiscount.com. You'll always find new releases at Deep Discount, too. Out this week, oh, your favorite taste, Blumhouse's Fantasy Island.
I love Blumhouse. If it's Blumhouse, I am all in. I don't care what people may say about Blumhouse. I love horror movies. I love anything with a twist or a turn or a scare. I love it. I love it. And I love Blumhouse, and I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, theirs are just kind of fun.
They are fun. They're just fun. I mean, you know, they're not the most intellectual thing, but that's not what you're always going
for. Are they not?
For a movie.
Would you... That would be interesting if they had a very literary Blumhouse film. I don't know what it would be.
You know, I mean, a scholarly horror movie. I don't see it. But
Blumhouse's Richard III.
If it is Blumhouse, I am all in.
Yep.
And they've got another Blumhouse movie, Truth or Dare, out.
Is that right? No,
yes.
I have not seen that.
I do not think that I have either, and I do think that we must.
Okay. Well, this Fantasy Island is a reworked TV series from back in the day. Becomes a quirky horror tale when five guests' ultimate fantasies turn into nightmares thanks to Blumhouse Productions. Fantasy Island is available now on DVD and Blu-ray for a great price. Who would have thought to make Fantasy Island into a horror movie?
You know, I never watched it. In the show, did things turn out wrong sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they would want one thing, but they would get something else that would teach them something, and they would go away a better person. In this one, they go away cut in half sometimes.
So fun.
Support our sponsor and own your passion. Thanks, Deep Discount.
Thanks, Deep Discount.
You're listening to Weird Medicine.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Well, let's just answer some questions for once, then.
Okay.
How about that? I do have one thing that is not an audio question. Someone emailed, and it wasn't really a question. It was a statement, and it was an awesome statement. They said at Henry Ford Hospital, is Henry Ford Health System in Detroit, which is where I was born, by the way. They're doing a thing called WHIP COVID-19, and it's very clever. These trial names are always very clever. It's Will Hydroxychloroquine Impede or Prevent COVID-19? So that came out WHIP, so WHIP COVID-19. It's a study. It's 3,000 subject look at whether hydroxychloroquine prevents frontline workers from contracting the COVID-19 virus. It's a randomized double-blinded study designed to produce scientific answer to the question, does it work? Henry Ford Health System is one of the region's major academic medical centers with more than $100 million in annual research funding, is also involved in numerous COVID-19 trials with partners around the world. Participation is completely voluntary, and their forms are on the website. And I volunteered. I'm just letting you know. I don't know if they're doing anything outside of Michigan, but I volunteered, and it's henryford.com/WHIP, which is WHIP hyphen COVID hyphen 19. And maybe if I think of it, I'll put this on the website at drsteve.com. And you have to fill out a form that took me literally a minute and a half to fill out. And then you give them your name and your phone number and email address. And then they supposedly reach out to you and let you know if you've been chosen to participate. So that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then, of course, it says, will I get paid to be part of this study? It says there's no compensation for being part of the WHIP COVID-19 study, which there should not be. These should be volunteers, not paid volunteers.
Yes, happy to do it on your own.
Yeah. Well, and you may get active drug. You may get a placebo. You just never know. But you'll be advancing human knowledge, which is a big deal. So, okay. So that's the WHIP thing. Let's see what else we got here. How about, okay. So there was this trial of lopinavir, ritonavir, which is an HIV drug, in adults hospitalized with severe COVID-19, and it really showed no benefit. It said this was a Chinese study, and they were all people who had a low oxygen saturation. And they were randomly assigned in a one-to-one ratio to receive either lopinavir, ritonavir twice a day for 14 days in addition to standard care or standard care alone. So there wasn't a placebo, but it was a comparison against standard care. And they don't tell whether they matched that cohort very well. And it was 199 patients with laboratory-confirmed SARS-CoV-2 infection, and 99 were assigned to the lopinavir group and 100 to the standard care group. And again, it doesn't show whether there was any matching done. And in these hospitalized patients with severe COVID-19, no benefit was observed with this combination beyond standard care. Now, we have advocated for some time they should be looking at people who have early disease before they get to the hospital. Because if we wait till they get to the hospital, we're not preventing hospitalizations, which is the whole reason that we're doing social distancing, is to prevent an overwhelming of the hospital system, right? So we want something that you can treat people when they're early. Hey, I've got a fever and I'm snotting and I'm coughing. I have this dry cough. Hey, let's do a test. Oops, you got the IgM antibodies, or they've got the new antigen test positive, just sort of like the influenza tests that we do. Here you go. Here's your drug X that will prevent hospitalization and prevent death. When we have that, we're back to normal for the most part. You know, then we're back to sort of 2009 influenza pandemic, which we had treatment for that, you know, and a very few number, although a significant number. I don't want to minimize that, but comparatively speaking, few succumbed to that illness. So if we could get it down to those numbers, we go back to normal again. Well, anyway, so lopinavir, ritonavir was tested again with interferon beta-1b, and interferon is a protein that's produced by the body in the presence of viruses and other insults. Which is hypothesized to be why you usually only get one virus at a time. You know, once you get one virus, you usually don't get another virus at the same time, although there have been some concurrent influenzas in COVID-19 cases. But anyway, and then they used this other drug, ribavirin, which is also an antiviral drug. And this phase two clinical trial, now phase two clinical trials look at two things, safety and effectiveness, but they're in very small numbers, was successful in treating mild to moderate cases of COVID-19. So this is from Medical News Today. This three-drug combination shortened the duration of viral shedding. That is the period during which the virus is detectable in a person's body and transmissible to others. The results of this new multi-center, prospective, however, open-label, not double-blinded, randomized trial appear in the journal The Lancet. They recruited 127 participants, and they came from six hospitals in Hong Kong, where doctors had tested them for SARS-CoV-2 and obtained positive results. On average, 5 days passed between the onset of symptoms and the start of treatment with the drug combination. And they randomly assigned 86 of the participants to the group that received the combination and 41 to a control group. So it was like a 2-to-1. Okay. The combination group, participants took a combination of these medications. And the treatment lasted for 14 days. In the control group, they did, just the lopinavir and ritonavir, which we've already shown didn't seem to do much by itself. Okay. So the results revealed the three-drug combination was safe and more effective than the lopinavir-ritonavir combination and reduced the period of viral shedding and shortened the length of hospital stays. Specifically, they did some swabs of the nose that showed the average time before the virus cleared was 7 days in the combination group compared with 12 days in the control group. And side effects were pretty much the same across both groups. So this is a phase two study, but it's a good study for a phase two study. And one thing that they have to look at is, well, maybe it's just the ribavirin or maybe it's just the interferon that's doing it. Maybe you don't need this HIV drug at all. So, you know, they're going to do some other studies on that as well. So we just study everything. And they'll be going into phase three directly, and we should have some phase three results in about 3 months. So, all right, not the knockout punch that we were hoping for, but at least something positive. Still looking for data on favipiravir, which is the thing I'm sort of really hoping for right now. It's a single pill. You give it to people when they have mild disease, and if the studies show a good effect again, we will be a lot closer to being normal while we're waiting for a vaccine, which will allow us to build up herd immunity quite quickly. All right?
All right.
And all the anti-vaxxers, don't worry about it. We only need about 55% of people to be vaccinated with this particular virus to get us into herd immunity. More would be a lot better, obviously. But if we have 10% of people that are abstaining, you know what? We'll carry the load for you guys on this one.
You know, when I think of an anti-vaxxer, I think just a fun, fun group of people.
Yeah, they are fun.
Just fun.
Loads of fun.
Loads and loads of fun.
Yep, yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
Going around, giving everybody stuff. It's just fun.
Giving people hell.
Giving
about
presents. It may not be things they want, but, you know, it's just great. Let me carry your burden. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, you know, on this one, I'm okay with it because I'll gladly stand in line and get the vaccine on this one.
Yes.
And, I mean, I'll gladly stand in line and get the vaccine on all the rest of them. Now, when it comes to things like measles, where you've got an R0, if you remember that number we talked about before, that's the average number of people each case will infect. With measles, the number is 12. And so when you have an R0 of 12, you need about 95% of people to have antibodies to prevent outbreaks. And when you have, let's say, if you have a 10% of the population are not getting measles vaccines now, we don't have that and we'll have continued measles outbreaks. We actually eradicated measles in this country. And this person called me a liar online because, oh, well, in that year when you said we eradicated it, we still had X number of cases. It's like, yeah, they all came from somewhere else. There wasn't a single case that was natively transmitted that year, whenever that was, 2000 and something. So measles is something we can eradicate, but we have to stay on top of it because when someone comes into our communities that is transmitting measles, they can transmit it. It's such a wildly communicable disease.
Or they take their whole non-vaccine getting family to Disney.
That's right.
And touch and lick everything.
It's not just their family. It's their whole group of you know, their community that have decided they're not going to
vaccinate. Yeah, they usually hang out and
Herds.
Yes, herds. That's what I was going to say. It's herds.
Yeah. So, yeah, but on this one, if we only need, if the R0 for COVID-19 is truly 2.2, then we really only need a little more than half of the people in the country to get vaccinated. We'll be able to hit that pretty easily, I think.
I think so, too. I think
anything more than that, it'll reduce the duration of this pandemic exponentially. What were you going to say?
I think everybody should pump themselves full of all the chemicals that they can find.
Yep. I ain't going to pump myself through all them chemicals.
Yeah.
They're not chemicals.
Or the friend that we had that had the baby who said she didn't like the schedule of the shot, so
yes.
she made up a better one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying it's easy to watch your baby get five shots. It's horrible.
Sucks.
And the kid, I mean, it's the worst ever. And
there has to be a way for them on these kids. Like, you and I remember, we had to hold Liam down, and he's screaming because he didn't like being held down in the first place. And then two or three nurses went at him with needles in both legs.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember.
I mean, how could you forget?
And I remember the same thing happened with Beck. It was horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah, there's got to be a way. And if we ever get Greg Poland, my mentor, who's at Mayo now, who is the country's premier vaccinologist, and he was my mentor in residency, the smartest man I've ever met. And that includes my brother, who is a really smart SOB. But Greg Poland is you know, one of these 250 IQ dudes. And he's got a great personality, which is insane. And he's, you know, an attractive guy, which is like, who's ever heard of this?
God doesn't give with both hands.
That's right. Well, in this case, well, there must be something wrong with him.
Something, yeah.
You know.
Impotency.
I don't know. I don't know. I have nothing.
Let's not start that.
I can't say anything about that. That's Tacy saying that.
No, I was kidding.
Of course.
It's the one.
Of course. He's a delightful man. I'm sure he satisfies everyone that he comes in contact with in every way. In every single way. But anyway, that's something I'd like to ask him is why they can't take all these shots that these kids have to have, put them in one vial, and just give them one shot.
I don't know.
I know. I don't either. So, or figure out a way to give it orally. Because polio is given orally.
Don't even get better. I remember the last time that both of our boys got a bunch of shots, and they were like 13 and 12 and or whatever. And the first couple of shots they were cool with. But
yeah.
Then towards the end of the day,
they were like, F this.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
And so we went and got ice cream after, and it just wasn't enough to make up for it.
No.
No.
I think I gave them both $20 too. It doesn't help.
No. It's horrible.
Here, kid, go buy yourself something nice if you've just been traumatized.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
All right. Well, anyway, where were we?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Anti-vaxxers. They're delightful.
Delightful, fun people.
See, you're going to get me in trouble with the anti-vaxxers the same
way that
GVAC used to get me in trouble with the intactivists. And
look,
you're sitting in his chair.
I don't know anything. I know nothing. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just my own ignorant opinion.
Well, he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
And he would even tweet to me, yeah, that circumcision, that's awesome, right, Dr. Steve? And the intactivists are all, you know, this and that, right, Dr. Steve? And you're sitting in his chair and his portrait is looking
well,
over your shoulder.
I could go on and on about that also. Because as when I was in college, mm-hmm. I worked as a CNA, and there's nothing worse than helping an 80-year-old man who has not been circumcised clean his penis. It hurts them.
Yeah.
But that's just, again, my ignorant opinion. I'm sorry.
Well, that's a very informed opinion, though, because you were there doing it. One thing is for all the CNAs out there, if you retract someone's foreskin, let's say to put in a Foley catheter. Well, a Foley catheter is a rubber tube that goes in the meatus of the penis up the urethra into the bladder. It's got a balloon on the end of it. You blow it up and that keeps it in. And you can drain urine that way if someone's got some sort of obstruction or something like that. If you retract their foreskin to do that, make sure that you de-retract it. Because if you don't, there's a finite chance, particularly if they've got a little phimosis, which is narrowing of the foreskin or tightening of the foreskin, that when you pull it back, it's going to start cutting off the blood supply to the head of the penis.
It's just so many problems.
And then it will slough off. So just please, if you're going to retract one and put in a catheter, just de-retract it. You got to remember to do that. I used to have a protocol taste when I would do a digital block on someone's toe. You have to apply compression, and a lot of people will use rubber bands, right? And so you're numbing up someone's toe so that you can take off their toenail. You have to numb the whole thing up. So you go at 10 and 2 with your needle, and then you go circumferentially around the toe. And you don't want to use lidocaine with epinephrine, because epinephrine, we've talked about on the show, is a vasoconstrictor, and it will cut off the blood supply to the toe. So don't do that. The other thing is, don't forget to take the rubber band off.
No.
Because if you want your patient's toe to slough off after you've removed their toenail, that's a great way to do it.
Like our cat. Do you remember when our cat had blood work? And she's really furry. And so they had a band around her arm. And they didn't take it off. And we didn't see it until her arm almost fell off.
Yep.
That was fun.
And fortunately, now she's fine, but she was pretty traumatized by that. And
for 4 years.
Well, the other thing that happened concurrently was we got a new puppy, and he drove her crazy. And those two things made that cat retreat to our son's room, and she didn't come out of there it was about 4 years.
4 years.
And now she's back to normal and driving us crazy again.
Yes.
And I'm really glad that she's gotten over that trauma. That was awful. But yes, you don't want your patient's toe to slough off. So what do? You use a forceps and you wrap the rubber band around the toe, but not circumferentially. You kind of wrap it around, like looping it around so that if you let go of it, it would just fly off, right?
Okay.
And then you clip it with foreskin. Clip it with your foreskin. Clip it with forceps so that the forceps are holding it on and making the rubber band apply pressure to the toe like a tourniquet. And that way, there's no way that a patient can put their socks on with that stupid forceps attached to their toe, to the side of their toe. And you will never, ever be able to forget that you put that rubber band on if you do it that way.
Well, that's good for me to know.
That's right. But if you just wrap it around like you would wrapping it around, your finger or something like that, then you will forget it one time in 1,000. But one time in 1,000, somebody's toe sloughs off. That's bad. So you want 0 times in 1,000 for somebody's toe to slough off. Why were we talking about that? Oh, we were talking about foreskins. Yeah. If you retract your foreskin, de-retract it. Thank you. That's the PSA for the day. All right. Let's take a call here. I'm using a new program to play the calls. And, of course, it's not working. So let's see here. Come on, you bastard. Oh, there we go.
Hey, Dr. Steve, this is Albert from Albuquerque.
Hey, Albert.
How are you today?
Good. How are you, man?
Great. Hey, I love your show. I've been listening for a long time, first-time caller. I thought this was interesting. I got a little bit of a family history. My oldest brother had a heart attack or two. Not a lot of heart issues in the family, direct family, although my uncle, my mom's side, passed away of a heart attack young, and her father also did.
Okay.
So in talking to my doctor, last time I saw him, I said to him, I said, should we be looking at anything in particular and doing a little more careful screening or anything in particular for me based on my family history? And he said, he would like to see if I didn't mind paying for it because insurance won't pay for it, me get a calcium score.
Yes.
So for $130 or so, I used my HSA and went to the local hospital and got a calcium score done. It was super easy to get done.
Oh, yeah. You
I
got
know
his
your,
HSA
your,
to pay
your
for
buddy,
it.
You lost him, and you felt that this could have been a preventative measure for him.
Absolutely.
And so I was kind of apprehensive hearing what it could be. I'm a kind of heavier guy and had a mixed lifestyle. But went to see my doctor, and he said, I'm jealous. Your calcium score was zero.
Damn.
Good for you.
And I said, are you sure this wasn't a bad reading? And he said, I know. He said, we do see this. His was like an 8. He said, I'm kind of jealous of you being at this level. But he said, knowing your history, I'm 22 years recovered in alcohol. So I've been sober for 22 years, and he said he's seen a fair amount of incidents of recovering alcoholics having lower calcium scores. But the mix with me was when I got off the drinking, went in to see my doctor for the first time in ages and started trying to get a little more healthy. My cholesterol was running a little bit high, so he put me on Crestor for a while. And I got off of that when my cholesterol came down. But I'm just curious, from your aspect, is a reduced calcium score in relationship to you know, whatever the chemistry happens when you're an alcoholic, you know, and you're abusing your system that way, or the combination of that and the Crestor coming out of the alcoholism.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's a kind of a magic combination. I eat pretty healthy.
I don't know about magic combination. He has a strong family history, but he's been mitigating his risk. It's all about risk mitigation. Taking Crestor and not having a family history improves your risk, but it doesn't make it. It doesn't mean you're immune to coronary artery disease. In other words, if you live long enough, you're going to die of cancer or a heart attack or a stroke. I mean, you know, that's sort of the common pathway if we live long enough with nothing else going on. But it does reduce your risk of having it done. So, or having that happen to you. One thing you can do is Google a Framingham score. And we should do your Framingham score, Tace. You want to do it?
Sure, let's do it.
Let's do it. Framingham ham calculator. I'm just doing this on the fly. I hadn't planned on doing this, but I just thought about it. So
let's find out that I'm going to die soon, right before I get on a plane.
You hear that, ladies? Okay, so you are years old, okay, and you are a female, and you are a non-smoker. Excellent. Very good. That wasn't always true.
Nope.
Do you know what your total cholesterol is?
It's terrible. I don't know what it is. I know my HDL is really good, and my LDL is not so good, but it is controlled on Crestor.
Okay.
Which I hear Crestor is
That's pretty
the
good
bomb
stuff.
Diggity.
So just give me an estimate of your total cholesterol. Is it like 230?
It was bad.
Okay. And then your HDL cholesterol was what?
Really 60? Good.
60 something. And your blood pressure? Your blood pressure is good, right?
It's 120. Yeah, it runs.
And you're
probably not so great right now.
And you're not on blood pressure medication, or
no.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Okay. So there you go. The average 10-year risk for someone your age is 1%. In other words, 1 in 100 will have it. Your risk is actually 0.4%.
I don't believe that for a second.
Why?
Because
you don't
I'm
have
pretty
any heart
sure
disease
that
in your family.
My LDL is worse than what you said, and my HDL is better. I'm pretty sure. And
let's do it again. I'm going to use the same numbers, and let's make your LDL 300, but your HDL 90. How about that?
Okay.
Now it's 0.7. So that did just about double your risk, but still lower than the average. And that's because your HDL is so good. Now, let's just say your HDL was down in the pits around 30, where a lot of people's are. Now, all of a sudden, your risk is 2.4%. You're 2.5 times normal. So that HDL being good is, in your case, most likely genetic and also due to the fact that you exercise and you drink a little bit of wine, which may also increase your HDL.
But I thought if you drank a lot of wine, which I have been doing.
You have been lately.
Lately.
Well, we haven't tested you lately.
That it made it worse, right?
That's right.
I'm not getting blood work for months.
But it is amazing how much difference the HDL makes. That's the good cholesterol. So it would take 2 seconds to talk about this. So just imagine someone's building a brick wall, and you've got a brick layer who's laying down brick wall, and then you've got a brick stealer that at night comes along and steals the bricks. If the brick stealer can steal enough bricks, the brick layer will never finish building the wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think of the LDL as brick layer. That's the one that's laying down cholesterol in this is very simplified, in your inside your arteries.
This is how you should talk to people all the time.
Well, I do.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, you know, in my clinical
on the show.
Practice.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
So the LDL is laying the bricks, trying to clog up your arteries, while the HDL is the brick stealer. So the more brick stealers you have, the less likely the brick layer, which is LDL, will be able to complete building that wall, which in this case is going to clog up your coronary artery and cause a heart attack, or clog up a carotid artery, which is in your neck, and cause a stroke. So the ideal ratio between the total cholesterol and the HDL, or the good cholesterol, is about 3 to 1. Now, there's more factors involved, But for the Framingham study, that's all they looked at. They simplified it, which is great. I love simple stuff. And this really gets you in the ballpark. So just making the adjustment on the HDL made a huge difference in your outcome. Now, let's look at mine. So I am 64. I don't mind. And I am not female. I am no longer a smoker either. So I quit in, 1999? So I've been off for about 21 years now. My HDL cholesterol, or my total cholesterol, was 130. No, surely, God, it wasn't that low. That won't even let you go that low. Let's say 170. And my HDL was 55. Okay, so the average, Jesus, really? I am really old.
Oh, no.
So, no, it's good. The good news is my risk is about half normal, but the average risk of somebody in my age group is 20%.
I'm taking applications for husbands.
But mine is down to 8.1%. So I have less than 1 in 10 chance of having a heart attack over the next 10 years. And we'll just see if this is right.
Oh, geez.
I know. Well, honey, I'm 64. 10 years from now, I'll be 74. You're going to be married to a 74-year-old man in 10 years.
Such a young soul, though.
I know. That's right. That's true. Just an idiot. So anyway. So, yeah, I don't know that it's magic, but congratulations. Good job. And the calcium score, look, I just have to throw one caveat in. You can have false negative calcium scores. And this is from Oxford Medical Case Report, says false negative results of a coronary artery calcium score are common due to small calcified lesions being missed using a 3-millimeter slice thickness. So they use kind of a thick thickness when they're going through. And a threshold of, don't worry, about 130 Hounsfield units and a minimum area of blah, 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 but whatever. So you can have false negative results. So you could have some coronary artery disease and still have a score of zero. And my old primary care provider said they can have these sort of soft plaques that aren't fully calcified yet, too. And those can also be there and not show up anything. The gold standard for this is a cardiac catheterization, which, of course, they're not going to do in a person like him who's completely asymptomatic but just at a high risk because it's very invasive. Okay. So good. Congratulations.
Good for him.
But don't rest on your laurels. You know, you got to continue to mitigate risk because of that strong family
history. No, and you got to make sure you're taking your medicine. I remember one time my blood work came back horrible, and they were like, the Crestor's not working. And I said, I've been taking it. And then I went to the pharmacist, and I haven't taken it in like 6 months.
Oh.
I've been forgetting to get it filled. So, yeah, you got to stay on top of that.
Yeah,
so.
You know, and I would like to see if someone's on Crestor, that automatically at the pharmacies goes on the remind list so that people don't forget to get it. Because at our pharmacy, if you don't click, hey, I want this medication, it'll just expire, you know? So I'm always having to scan and make sure that we're not behind on things. So most pharmacies, though, you can actually tell them, well, you just remind me to refill this. All right.
Hey, Dr. Steve. This is Steven.
Hey,
just
Steven.
Calling because I want to know what the range was. So I got antibodies and I was a 4.9. And is there a range where it goes from like 1 to 10? Or is there a range that goes from like 1 to 100? That's my question. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm trying to decipher this. I think this person had a COVID-19 antibody test, and it said it was positive, and they just threw out this number. And he's absolutely right. Is it 4.9 on a scale of 1 to 10, 4.9 on a scale of 1 to 100, which would, you know, be very low, 4.9 on a scale of 1 to 10 be right in the middle. So when they just throw numbers out like that, it's completely useless.
Completely useless.
Without some context. So they need to say, hey, the threshold is less than 0.08. Then all of a sudden a 4.9 is a pretty high number. They need to tell you what that lower threshold is and what they're considering a positive test. So if it was 4.8 and yours was 4.9, there's a possibility that's a false positive for real. So what you need to do is call them back because every test is different. The test that we did didn't give you numbers. They just gave you positive and negative. And ask them, hey, what was the range on this? I'm just curious. And then let us know if you find out anything interesting. Okay.
Hey, Dr. Steve, I'm listening to your show, and I'm kind of curious. You're talking about some false positives with the COVID testing. My wife works at on a COVID floor right now in New York State, and they see a lot of actual false negatives where the patient doesn't test positive, and then a week later during treatment, they're popping positive. Just curious about that, and wondering if you could talk about it on the show. Thanks.
Give yourself a bill.
Okay, so he brings up a good point. No perfect tests. When we were talking about false positive COVID-19 antibody tests, what we were talking about was they really aren't false positive. They're true positives. It's just not positive for what we're looking for. So we want to know, do you have antibodies to SARS-CoV-2? And these tests are looking at coronaviruses. Some of them are very specific for SARS-CoV-2, but there may be some out there, and there's suspicion that some of the early antibody tests were this way, would also cross-react with other coronaviruses. And some of them are quite benign. So if you had a common cold caused by a coronavirus, 3 months ago, you might have had this antibody. And so you think, oh, wow, I'm immune. I had COVID-19 when you really didn't. That's what we were talking about. Now, what he's talking about are most likely polymerase chain reaction. This is where they stick a swab up your nose and they're looking for viral genetic material, which is pretty damn specific, right? If that shows up positive, it's going to be pretty specific. The problem with that is it's dependent on how well you get the sample, how far up you go, were there enough viral particles there for you to detect it, all that stuff. And those tests have a very high false negative rate. So we've talked about those cases where they thought people were getting reinfected. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And those may be people who had two negative tests in a row and then had a positive test. And all three, the first two were false negatives, and the third one was a true positive. Now, if you have a 20% false negative rate, the odds that you'll get two negative tests in a row is about 4%, right? So 0.2 times 0.2 is 0.04. And so 4% of people who get two tests could have the first one negative and the second one negative, even though they're actually positive.
Well, you know, I've heard you talk about in the hospital people who tested negative, but it's kind of like...
Yeah, they obviously have.
But then I've also heard something else that I think we should talk about, because it's all over my Facebook, is okay. how physicians are being incentivized, or hospitals are being paid to list the cause of death as COVID on a death certificate.
Yeah.
I've seen that all over the place. Now, I'm quite sure that you're not out there lying about what a patient dies of.
Well, no, nor am I getting paid differently if we did that. Now,
oh, come on, and you know you get paid to write prescriptions too.
I know, it's all
which is why I have to work.
It's
because that's not true. But anyway,
I'm an ethical person, so I'm glad it's not true, but there's a part of me that says, I wish it were true that I could get paid just for writing prescriptions, because I'd write the hell out of some damn prescriptions, you know? But I can tell you what we have been instructed. We got zero instructions from anyone about how to fill out a COVID-19 death certificate until about a week ago, when I got a thing from the Tennessee Department of Health that said, look, if you think that COVID-19 contributed to this patient's demise, then you put it on their death certificate. They will be listed as a COVID-19 death. So let's say you had someone who had congestive heart failure, and they get COVID-19, and they decompensate their congestive heart failure, and they actually die of the congestive heart failure. But the COVID-19 was enough of a stress on their body to stimulate this. And we also know that COVID-19 you know, can affect your...
Attacks everything.
Oxygen, and it can affect your heart and your kidneys and stuff. So it makes things worse. So those people, we were instructed in those cases, if you feel that it was a substantial factor in the patient's demise, to put it on the death certificate and they'll be counted as COVID-19. Now, the only financial thing they said was if you don't do this on these people, the families may not be able to get some sort of compensation. I don't know what it is. I never could figure out what compensation they're talking about, but there may be a fund somewhere if someone succumbs to COVID-19 that they can get some sort of compensation. I don't know the answer to that. You'd think I would, but I'm not an attorney, so maybe we should get an attorney on here or a financial person. But anyway, they just said, well, look, we want to make sure that if COVID-19 contributed to their demise, that it gets put somewhere on there. So in that case, with a congestive heart failure person, I might code it like this. So this is, you have a principal diagnosis. They died of respiratory failure, secondary to congestive heart failure, secondary to atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. Contributing factors include SARS-CoV-2 infection. Okay, and then that would be listed as a COVID death.
Well, because you don't just die a lot of times of one thing.
That's right.
Right? I mean, sometimes it takes more than one thing to get you.
That's right. But in no way have we been told, hey, you need to put down all these people as COVID-19 cases because we're going to get paid more. Because, you know, the hospital's hurting. I don't know that they're getting paid more for anything right now. Now, the other thing is, they did say also that if you did not have testing, but clinical suspicion for COVID-19 was high, you can code them as COVID-19. You didn't have to have a positive test. And that takes into consideration the fact that some people are not making it to the hospital and dying, and you're not doing tests on them after they die unless you did an autopsy. And so there's a high false negative rate for some of the tests that we're doing. So you go, it quacks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it, you know, has liquid feces coming out of its cloaca like a duck, it's a duck, you know. And therefore, if it meets the clinical criteria for SARS-CoV-2 and you don't have a positive test, it's okay to code them that way. But you need to have a high clinical suspicion. That needs to be documented in the chart. You can't just make it up, you know.
Okay.
So that's how we've been instructed. That is the truth. And if anyone is interested in seeing that letter from the State of Tennessee Health Department, I'd be happy to post it or, you know, let them see it.
Well, I'm sure many of my friends on Facebook will fight you over that.
Well, I know, but they're just, those are faith-based statements. They're not based on reality, you know, or fact. They're just, they believe it to be true, so therefore it's true. And that's a faith-based statement. Mm-hmm. Show me the evidence that we are somehow being improperly coerced into coding things a certain way, and then I'll believe it. But I got, you know, I'm open to being shown the evidence, but I haven't seen a shred of evidence that any of this is true. All right. We got about a minute 19 left.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay. Well, this is a non-COVID-19.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I was wondering, is it true that when we die, that we secrete 28 grams of fluid out of our orifices? I was watching a movie and I think they referenced that, and I was just wondering if it's true or not.
I don't know if the 28 grams number is correct. I know when you die, of course, your muscles will tense, called rigor mortis, but then they will relax. And a lot of all the bacteria in your gut continues to grow. As a matter of fact, it starts to digest your deceased tissue, and that can cause a lot of bloating in the abdomen, and you can have, I mean, the funeral directors will tell you, you can have explosive emissions from the rectum of, you know, liquid, and some of it is old stool, and some of it is just, you know, body fluid. So we've still got a lot of phone calls left to do. Maybe we could do some next week. Thanks always go to my wife, Tacy. She's quite delightful. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
We can't forget Rob Sprantz. Maybe we can. Yeah, we can forget Rob. Can't forget Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Eric Nagel, Roland Campos, Sam Roberts, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt from the Syndicate, a.k.a. Matt Kleinschmidt, Ron Bennington, and Fez Watley, whose support of this show has never gone unappreciated. That was my Larry David impression. And we can forget him.
Yeah, it was just okay. Why do we have to always thank all these people? You're just so big on it.
I don't know. Just maybe, I have no idea. Just, you know, 15 years I've been thanking everybody at the end of the show.
The list gets longer and longer.
Yes.
Why?
That's right. Well, we have more and more people
on that list.
Why aren't you on that list?
Yeah.
Because you're here, and I just thanked you.
Oh. Okay.
I thanked you first.
All right. Well, let's just make sure we keep it up.
Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's Pleasure. I'd really like to do some live shows. We've talked about that literally for 15 years, so maybe we can do that sometime. Many thanks go to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time, wash your hands, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
Bye, everybody.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.